Two, one, roll the footage! Mr. Sean Malone in the house today because he has brought two companies to 10 million and he's bringing the current ones to 100 million. How could I not ask him to come on the show and share his journey, his wisdom with us? He is the co-founder and CMO of flowchat.com, the amazing company that we will get to know a little bit further. And he's one of the best salespeople on the planet. He just casually has a talk time of around 28%. And if you know something about sales, you know that that is the master class because it's the hardest thing to do and it's the one with the highest win rates. So welcome everyone, Sean Malone.
Simon, that was an epic intro and I am just so thrilled and honored and just humbled to be on your show. What you do, how you help businesses transform into the next level of things is truly remarkable and you're somebody that absolutely inspires me. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
I really love what you're doing and I love you as a human being. So I'm happy that you're here and the audience will learn a ton. Also, the timing is good because after so many successes, you almost never take time to celebrate your successes. You just go to the next success and next success and next success. But right now on your wall, for people just listening, behind him on the wall, there is something beautiful. Tell us about that.
So that's with our organization. And we have a six-figure club, a seven-figure club, and then an eight-figure club. If you use our software to reach those levels, we reward you by sending out a really cool award, and we publicize it, and we publish and talk about your success. And I think one of the things that most entrepreneurs struggle with is when they personally hit a record or an achievement, most of them don't take the time to celebrate. And case in point, our software business actually did multiple millions in its first year and then multiple millions in its second year and its third year. Now we're into our fourth year and we never took a minute to give ourselves our own award and to celebrate that. And I think it was a couple of years ago, I was watching Elon Musk right when he launched SpaceX and he hit like some massive milestone and he was getting an interview and they asked him that question. They're like, how much time do you take to celebrate hitting this massive achievement? And he goes, 5 minutes or less. And he was like a robot when he said the answer. And that, for whatever reason, because I think Elon, what he's doing is pretty remarkable, like stuck with me. And I was like, don't celebrate, just keep going to the next thing. And I think if we do that, we get to a place where we kind of self-destruct.
And most listeners right now, including myself, we don't celebrate enough. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for breaking the pattern. You're starting to celebrate it. And so tell us about Flowchat. Or should we do it the other way around? Let's start with the first company that you brought to 10 million, then the second one, and then we talk about your current one. Let's go. What was the first 10 million journey?
Yeah, so the first 10 million journey really came after I had kind of cut my teeth. Like anything, you know, my vocation or my superpower, I know that's one of the questions that we were going to talk about today, is what I would say is communication. And there was a specific time in my life where I realized that communication was going to become my superpower, and that really started my journey. So when I came out of college, I asked my dad one question. I said, how do I make a boatload of money? Because that's what I wanted to do. And he said, you have three choices. And I was excited because I always did good on multiple choice tests in school. And he said, number one, are you a CEO? And I was 21 at the time and I didn't even know what those letters meant. So I was like, no, dad, I don't even know what that is. He's like, okay, no problem. Are you an entertainer? And I was like, well, I don't sing or dance super well. So no, I'm not an entertainer. And then he goes, well, you better go learn sales. I said, okay, great. So then I found a sales job selling, as a manufacturer's rep. So I sold for like 15 different companies across a bunch of different industries. And I walked into my job the first day. My boss, Tim, gives me this book of all these manufacturing companies with phone numbers. And he says, go make some calls, set appointments, and then go sell them some stuff. I was like, okay, that's a very simple path. Let's go try this. I didn't know what I was doing. And I started making cold calls and I started doing a lot of them, right? And my first day I did like 30 and no results. So I was like, I went home. I was like, I'll do better tomorrow. And tomorrow I was like, I'll double it. And so I ended up doing 60, still no results. And then this continued this pattern for like the first week. And on the Friday of the first week, I walk into Tim's office and I said, dude, what am I doing wrong? Like, what do I do? He's like, don't worry, just double your efforts. You'll be fine. And that's what he told me. So I said, okay, it's a hustle culture move, like way back in the day. So I went back and then I said, I'm going to do at least 80 cold calls every day until I get this thing dialed in. And I was like relentless about it. And so I started doing 80 cold calls a day. Boom, 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 boom. For 6 weeks straight, Simon, 80 cold calls a day. That's 2,400 attempts to book an appointment. How many appointments do you think I booked?
Three.
Zero.
Ooh.
Goose egg. Now, most people would have quit long before 6 weeks because the frustration levels were massive, right? What I'm sharing with you is if you are in sales and you're listening to this or you're thinking about going into sales or whatever, don't worry if you're not getting appointments in sales. Just learn from people like Simon who can teach you exactly what to do and so you can move forward. So anyway, I almost threw the white flag in and I was like, Dad, the sales thing sucks. And he says, don't quit, go to the library and read a book. Great advice. So I go to the library and I pick up a Tom Hopkins, How to Master the Art of Selling Stuff book. And I start reading through it and I was like, oh my God, there's a formula, like I can do that. So I went back the next day with my little line of trying to set this appointment with this person, called the first person, totally butchered that call. So I hung up, like by this time I was like, you know, big armor, didn't matter. They said no to me. And then the next call I got on and right when I was about to deliver that line, like I froze, right? And the hair stand up on my neck, sweat beads start coming down my face. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And I totally messed up, butchered the line like crazy. But the guy on the other end was cool enough. And he said, Sean, I know what you're trying to do. Come on over Tuesday at 9 a.m. And I was like, oh my God, that moment changed everything for me. Cause like the energy shot through my veins. I was like, oh, I did it. Like I actually did it, right? Like that success. And I was trying to keep it cool on the phone. And eventually I got off the phone and like I put it down. I was jumping around my office and Tim walks around and he goes, did you close the deal? And I was like, no, I just set my first appointment. And he was like, oh, get out of here. But something really, really changed in me that day. And I thought to myself, look, like if I can do this once, I can do it 10 times. If I can do it 10, 100, 100, 1,000, and then I could win. And so I became a maniac at studying sales. And I chose that day to my superpower to become communication. And through the vocation of high ticket sales, and then what we call the lost art of prospecting. And so those are the two things that moment spurred me to go in the direction of binge learning everything I could from the best of the best of the best that taught sales and did all this thing. I went through 40 different selling systems and I tried like all this other stuff.
40?
Yeah, tons of them, right? Like that's where all the books are. Like this shelf right up here, this whole top row is all sales books, right? So it's like just tons of them, right? And so like I'm a nut when it comes to that. Like I got obsessed. And so what I'm sharing with you is sales is a learned skill. I sucked at it first, probably sucked worse than you listening to this. Like I was the worst. And now I got really good at it and I started closing a bunch of deals. And then I was like, whoa, that works. And then I got a little bit hungry to buy my own company. Now I was a young kid making a lot of money and I thought I saw these two business owners of this electronics company. I'd helped them take their company from 3 million to 38 million in 9 months through my sales efforts. So I closed a bunch of deals for them. And then I saw them going to the bank and getting these big loans and they were like 10 years older than me. And I thought, well, man, I can run circles around those guys. Like I'll just go do it myself. And so I found this electronics manufacturing company in Las Vegas and I cashed in all of my stuff and I invested almost $500,000 at the time. It's like $450,000. And I purchased 43% of an electronics manufacturing company that served government clients building electronics. So if you think of like the people on the front lines, they have those communication packs that have all the walkie-talkies and the all the electronics. I used to build all the electronics that would go in and power those things for the military and those types of people. So Raytheon was my client, Boeing, TRW Lucas, Martin Marietta, L3, Lockheed, like all these guys were kind of the clients that I would sell to. And that's where I got really good at like business to government selling. And I would do like a, you know, $5 million deal over 60 million dollar deal over 5 years, or like multiple million dollar deals. And so that was the first company that I was able to grow. But when I moved there to Vegas, there was only seven people in the organization, and I had one business partner. We were doing 250,000 a year in revenue, and I took about 3 to 5 months to learn how the operation worked, and then I went on a sales tear. And in that period of time, I took that company, it took about 3.5 years to go from 250,000 a year to 8.5 million a year. And then we locked one big
deal.
How did
you do that?
Great question. So street hustle, right? So I took all the sales skills that I had, the prospecting skills, and I set up a system with myself. And back in the old days, it was, I didn't even know what a spreadsheet was back then. It was like I had a box of cards with prospects, and I had them by alphabetical order, and I had this like full on like prospecting system. And then I would just focus on 2 hours a day. I set appointments, boom, that's it. And then for 4 hours a day, I would actually go to these appointments every, so I was spending 6 hours a day selling stuff. And then I would come back and I spend another probably like 4 to 6 hours running operations and managing other like operational stuff. So it was a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. If anyone's trying to go to $10 million, like be prepared. It's a journey. And there's, you know, moments of highlights, and then there's moments of lowlights in the journey. But, all I would do is I would set appointments and I would go and I would use my selling systems. And then with that business, we would do what we call a first article. So I would sell them into, hey, let's just do one and see if we can build it better than who you had before or different. And if it's more economical, then we'll move forward. So I would do this first article. We'd build that first one and they would pay for it. And then we would go in and then I would lock up a big contract. And I just did that over and over and over, like rinse and repeat until we got to, you know, the big numbers. And then what happened 4 years later, after I'd started that journey, I was on a sales in California. I went to California. I was working with L3 Communications. We were designing this laser guidance missile detection system that would go on the top of a Raytheon tank that would like watch the, you know, like, and it would shoot missiles out of the sky. It was crazy cool stuff. And I didn't know any of that. Like, I was just surrounded by really smart engineers who designed and built that stuff. And I would like sell the actual electronic piece of it. And it was like a 2 week, I was there for 2 weeks, and my business partner called me. I had like 12 people in the room, and I was closing this deal. It was awesome. And my business partner calls me in the middle of this conversation. He's like, get back, emergency, like the building's burning down. I was like, oh my God. So I end the meeting, fly back to Vegas, and I walk in and nothing's wrong. I'm like, what is happening? And so I look around, and then there's this dude wearing a suit walking around our facility. And my rule was no suits in the building. I'm not a suit guy, right? And so I walked to my business partner and I was like, who's the suit? He says, come in my office. Go into his office. We sit down. Next thing he says, Sean, while you were gone in the last week and a half, I sold the business to the suit. And I go, Tony, how'd you do that? He goes, I said, I own 47% of this business and you didn't even consult me. He's like, Sean, I own 53% and that's the way it works. Lesson two, always own 50% or more of whatever business you own if you're going to do it, right? That was a hard lesson for me, but that was the first one that we actually clipped over 10 million in a single year. It was that next year that we did that, because I ended up having to work with the organization that he sold it to integrate all of their leaders, managers, teach them how to do the quotation process. It was annoying because like I was running at light speed and now I had to go back to like kindergarten and teach all these guys how to like do the thing. And so
that's the first 10 million journey. Before we go to the second 10 million journey and then to the 100 million journey, what you asked your father, how do I do a boatload of money? What was your vision? What would you have done with that money? Why was money important?
Yeah, great question. So money has always been important to me because like growing up, I feel very privileged. I feel like my parents gave us everything. And like, as I got older, I recognized that they sacrificed everything they did for us, my sister and I. And I never wanted, I wanted to be able to give back to them, and I want to be able to take care of them. And I think like that's what family is, a big value of mine. And so I thought to myself, look, if I can just like figure out the money thing and just give them a bunch of money, that's really awesome. And then as I matured in my career, I thought, oh, well, like money is a tool. That's all it is. As long as you have enough of it to like take care of yourself, then it's like, how do we impact other people? And that's where the money to impact exchange came into my life. And I thought to myself, look, if I can start making a lot of money, then yes, we're going to have all the lush and nice stuff that everybody talks about and wants. But then at the same time, it's how do we give back? How do we make more impact? How do we make a ding in the universe like Steve Jobs talks about? And for us, after the electronics company, we moved into, and there's a big long story I could tell you about how water is so important to me and my wife, and but I'll skip to the end. And we started using percentage of our profits to fund clean water drinking wells in third world countries. The reason was because a lot of these villages and these third world countries don't have like the women of the household walk like 7 to 15 miles a day just to get water. Like that was not acceptable to me. And what I looked at is the macroeconomics, and it's going to take $20 billion to cure, like not having clean drinking water. And I thought, well, shoot, $20 billion is something that can be achieved in a lifetime. I don't know if I can do that on my own, but I know that all my business partners, colleagues, cohorts, people that I work with, together, we could create $20 billion and just eradicate like clean water issues off the planet. And I thought like, that's something that we can all rally behind.
And whoa, I feel like in the coolest Netflix episode, we just went through the first 10 million journey. Then you come back, he sold the company. So now you start the next 10 million journey after one word from our sponsors.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com.
I just want to take a second and say something to you, Simon. I didn't know it was 1,600 businesses. That's incredible. So if you are listening to this right now and you're thinking about scaling your business and you don't know how or where to go, like get the book or buy directly with Simon and start working with him because he's a genius. Like 1,600 businesses is a lot of businesses. So there's a proven track record there, which means guess what? He has the roadmap. You just got to go get the roadmap and follow it. That's it.
Thank you. Now, the second journey begins, again, to 10 million. How did that start?
Yeah, interesting. So after we sold the first one, I was kind of into that business for at least 2.5 years to kind of transfer everything. And then I moved out. And then I was like, what am I going to do? And that was right at the time I met my now wife, Melissa. And we had started spending a lot of time together. And I was like, look, I want to spend all my time with her. And obviously sales and communication as a superpower, I thought to myself, like, if I go get a job, I'm not going to be around every single day. So like, how can we do it on our own? And so I didn't know what to do. She said, go do something. What are you good at? Sales. I said, okay, cool. So I took a job, a traveling job, selling commercial roofing to big buildings. So like I was in Nevada at the time. Nevada was my territory. So all the school districts, Area 52 that they don't talk about. Yes, I was in the desert putting like metal roofs on buildings that no one could even see from the sky, like pretty cool stuff. That's what I sold. And I did that. I worked there for about 3 years and I broke every sales record they'd ever had because of the systems and background that I'd had. But I was still away from my wife. And
I will get now 100 comments. What did you see in that area? Maybe just a quick tangent. Did you see anything?
I'm not at liberty to discuss it. I actually had to go through like a really like security. They actually tapped my phone for 3 months and I could hear it. So I'd be on the phone and I'd hear this beep and I knew they were listening. And then it would beep, beep, and then they weren't listening. And so, like, I agreed to this whole program and went through the thing. And, yeah, they track you like crazy. They watch what you do. And like, even at night when you're at lunch meetings, they'll have people that'll come up to you that are, like, undercover and try to, like, prompt information out of you and stuff like that. So it was crazy.
Nice try. Nice try, guys. We didn't get anything. Okay, let's continue the journey.
Well, I will just say that what you have seen, some of the conspiracy theories, some of that stuff is true. I'll just say that. There you go. So there you go. Yes. So at this point in my journey, I realized that roofing people are not my people. No offense. I love them, but I'm just not in that world. Like, construction's not my jam. And right then my wife had been saying, what if we could build something online? And I had this big idea of, like, man, I would love to do something online. And if I could use my sales skills somehow, she saw this Facebook ad of this young kid walking across a beach in Thailand with no shirt on. He's like, I just made all this money online. And I was like, that's exactly what I wanted to do. And of course, that was so clickbait back in the day, but it was like, it got me, right? So I click on the link, I go down the pathway. It was $99 to buy this little marketing system the guy had. So I bought the system. And all I thought to myself was like, look, I don't know marketing, but I know sales. And if this thing can bring me some people, I probably can convert them. And so it took us about 3-4 months to figure out how to run paid ads to cold traffic. That was the first thing I learned when I moved in the online space. Very difficult to do if you've never done it before. Russell says in his Traffic Secrets book, don't ever do that until the very last thing you do for traffic. But anyway, that's the first thing I learned. So I did it completely backwards. And we started hitting it. About 3 months in, we made a couple of advertisements that really crushed. And it started driving a lot of people my way. And then I started converting because it was $99 for the system. And it was a network marketing company that sold water systems for home use from Japan. They're called Kangen water systems. And you install them in your sink or on your right in your sink, and it spits out like alkalized water. Love the product. You still use it today. It's been, you know, however many years. And I started converting a lot of these because it was a $10,500 sale. And so then I was like, oh man, like, we could actually build this network marketing business huge. And so over the course of the next couple of years, we got to 500, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, right around 2,000 people. One of the people said, your software sucks, because we had so much volume coming through the system that we were using, it was breaking. Like, it was just hitting the limits. It was ridiculous. And so at that time we were learning from Russell, and he's like, here, meet these software guys. You need to build a software company, software guys. We ended up spending $1 million with them, and we built our first software product. And in that first year we launched, we did $250,000 in 2 hours from the launch, which was incredible to push people into our own software. And then over the course of the next like 9-10 months, we did $12 million in back-end sales. And it was just because we built a very robust software platform that allowed these new people that were trying to get online from offline. That was the goal, the target of, here's how you run paid ads to cold traffic. And if you learn to run the ads, the system will do pretty much everything else for you. We built the landing pages, the webinars. I was running 2 live webinars a week. I did it for 3 years straight. Like, it was crazy amounts of work. Then we had all the email sequences, and I built a sales team of 35 people to handle the volume of these 2,000, now 2,500 people driving traffic into our system. So I love affiliates, always a big affiliate player. And that exploded. But here's what happened, Simon. I burned out because I didn't know your strategies. I burned out because I was working 22 hours a day, 20 hours a day, 4 hours of sleep, living on coffee, water, and Taco Bell. It's terrible. It was the worst time of my life, but it was the most financially rewarding time of my life. And so a little ways into that journey, I completely burned out, and I was driving to a mastermind in Russell Brunson in Idaho to see him. And I saw a tree, and I thought, I'm done. I want to drive in this tree. I want to end my life. I'm over. I'm like, I just don't. And my wife was in the car. So of course that was the reason I didn't drive into the tree. And I kind of, you know, I pulled over. Really bad, bad, bad feelings come back when I talk about that, because that was a place that I don't ever want to go back to. And I don't encourage anyone to ever go back to that place. But it was a tough time for me. But I worked through it. I got to this presentation, and I said, because we had this whole presentation plan to do in front of all these people that were doing hundreds of millions of dollars a year. I said, screw this, scratch that. I can't do that presentation. I need to tell them what's real in my heart. So I went on stage And I shared her journey of building this $10 million business in like 20 minutes with these guys. And they were clapping, and then they were crying, and they were clapping and cheering, and they were crying because it was like up, down, up, down, up, down. And then at the end, Russell gets up and he says, "Sean, you're not going to like what I have to say." And I respect him more than anything for that. You say, who is somebody I admire? I admire Russell Brunson beyond because of how he's able to coach and what he's done personally is incredible to me. He says, "You're not going to like this, but you need to kill your baby." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "You need to sell that software company because it's stealing your soul." And I was like, "Damn. That's real." And I was like, "I don't know how to sell a multi seven-figure company doing like, how do you do that?" But anyway, my business partner, thank goodness for him, and we ended up taking a year and we sold that first software product to one of our competitors. And then I took some time to defrag and unburn out myself. And I hired Alex Sharfin. I love that man. He saved my life and my wife and my business partner, Chris Baden and Russell. Those are the people that pulled me out of a place where I wanted to take my own life. So a little personal, a little business,
Thanks for sharing that. And we all know how the roller coaster feels. The intensity is different for people, but that's real. That's the journey. From there, you have started now the third journey, or at least the third that we are talking about. And that one is Flowchat. Tell us about Flowchat and why are you doing, again, such a huge thing now with the goal of 100 million? And how will this not take your soul, not burn you out?
You ask amazing questions. Thank you for just being you. You're real and I really appreciate you and I love you. So after that company was sold, Chris and I were like, we knew we wanted to keep working together. And we're like, what do we do? So we went to Russell and he said, what are you good at? And again, we were good at sales. And he says, all these online entrepreneurs and business owners need some help with sales. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting. We could probably show them how to hire, onboard, and train a sales team because that would probably solve their sales problem. So we ended up calling 40 or 50 of these clients or potential dream clients and said, do you struggle with sales? And they all said, yes. And we said, tell me more. How have you tried to sell? What are you trying to do? I asked a question, no selling at all in this conversation. But after these 40 or 50 conversations, five people raised their hand and said, we're not getting off the phone, Sean, until we put a deal together because we want you to do what you're saying you've been able to do for so many people. Cool. So Chris and I fired up a high ticket sales agency to show entrepreneurs how to hire, onboard, and train sales teams. And it worked flawlessly for the first 4 to 5 months, right? And at 4 to 5 months, we'd put the sales team. So in the first month, we put the sales team and infrastructure in there, started training them. Second month, we started getting sales for them. Third month, started going really fast. By the fourth, fifth, and sixth months, these sales teams had churned through all of our entrepreneurs' warm markets. So the sales started to dwindle. So these entrepreneurs come back to us and they say, Sean, thank you so much for building a sales team for me. It's amazing. I love it. I don't have to sell anymore. I feel so great about it. But now I can't sleep at night because I don't have a system that predictably puts more opportunities in front of my sales team you just built me. Can you help me? Chris and I looked at each other like, we've been doing that for years. We didn't even know it was a problem. Here's this solution, totally archaic piece of paper, spreadsheet tracker, go. Every one of our high ticket clients, 100% growth in the next couple of months, like crazy amounts of like, that's the thing. And so Chris and I looked at each other after about 2 years into this endeavor and we're like, okay, we need to do a mastermind. So we hired a mastermind coach. And again, if you haven't hired a coach, hire Simon, but we didn't know how to build a mastermind. And hiring a coach, I think, is one of the most important things anyone could do because they have all the shortcuts. And they don't let you fall into the pitfalls and the things that, like, that's why Simon is so brilliant. So again, I will be a proponent and I will promote you forever because you're amazing, dude. But I hired a mastermind coach. He says, here's how you run a mastermind. We're like, that's amazing. We have this concept. And we started doing a $25,000 a year mastermind where we put 3 months intensive. Here's the system that you put in your business. Here's how you hire the VA to run the thing for you when you got it in place. And then 9 months after that of advanced sales coaching to close all the deals off the back end the system produced. We had dozens and dozens and dozens of businesses come through this mastermind, and we had 83% of the businesses have had and continue to have the biggest success rates they've ever had using this system. So 2 years into this endeavor, one of our clients says, y'all need a software company. We're like, huh, interesting idea. Our messaging ran into our CTO's messaging. Got on the phone with him. What do you do? I built this cool tech back in 2017. You kind of had to be like a nerd to be able to run it like a super engineer. And we're like, yeah, it's cool tech. But he's like, but I have no clients. What do you guys do? Oh, we have hundreds and hundreds of clients, but we don't have a software. And that said, why don't we merge, acquire, got all the IP together, redressed the system, and then relaunched it in 2020 as Flowchat. And it exploded. All of our mastermind clients did, yes, I want in. They got started going in and they started having huge results. And Flowchat is built off really three principles. So simple. Number one is this idea that the internet itself is a giant bucket of leads. Doesn't matter where you go, specifically social media, just one big bucket of leads. Our job is not to create clients. Our job is to go find the clients where they are and then put hooks in front of them to pull them in our direction. That's what we do. So Flowchat has this ability to import universally from anywhere on any social media platform. That's principle number one. One click, you can grab a whole Facebook group as an example. Second principle is this idea of pipeline view. You're probably familiar with a spreadsheet or a Trello board, Kanban type system. We built the very first one for DM messaging for personal profiles. And when we built it and launched it, every one of our competitors copied us. Gives me validation. It's the right thing to do. And then thirdly, if you've ever done organic outreach without having to do paid ads, SEO, PPC, or any of that other stuff, and you're using organic methodology and using the DMs, you need to have some sort of reporting because otherwise you get stuck. We've done this for years. We got stuck all the time. It's very difficult to pull good reports and figure out the metrics in order to optimize organic messaging.
And it's DM only, no emails, no calls, just DM?
So we are the DM specialists. We do internally have the ability to do email and SMS, but if we go down that path, then we start competing with the ClickFunnels and the Go High Levels and the Salesforces and the HubSpots of the world. We're not in that boat. We're a sales tech that would sit in front of any CRM that's out there.
Perfect. And that is now snowballing. It's in behind you, we see the results. You are sending this amazing congratulations.
Thank you.
Gifts to all your clients when they hit specific milestones. What are the milestones? Where are you sending them to?
Yeah. So six figures. When you do your first six figures through one of our, what we call a Flowchat pipeline. It's just like, if you think about what is a pipeline, it's a conversational flow of sales steps to get somebody to take the desired result that you want. That's it. And so when you use one of these things to get the result of hitting six figures, is the first award we get sent out. Seven figures is the next one. And then we have an eight figure club as well. And then when we start bringing on live events, there's going to be all kinds of perks that those guys get. And so the idea is to publicize, you know, the fact that the software can support the accelerated growth of pretty much any B2B business that's out there that uses social anyway. Yeah.
Who should come into your programs, into your world?
Yeah. So agency owners are typically the best, right? So if you're a digital marketing company, agency owner, those are usually the best. We have a lot of consultants. We have sales professionals that use it for one thing or another. We have service-based businesses that crush with it. We've helped gym owners to bring new clients into their buildings. So we have done some B2C stuff, but it's really more, it's the kind of the B2B mechanism, for like online business. So anybody who's trying to, you know, book a bunch of phone calls or sales calls with potential prospects or grow a community or a tribe, this becomes a very valuable tool for them. Yeah.
Flowchat.com, everyone, Sean Malone. And what's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, so there's a unique link that I'll share with you that will be right below that you can actually book a call directly with our team. That's the first way to do it. Otherwise, you can go check out what flowchat.com is on the website. If you do decide to book a call and come learn, because we'll give you a free strategy session, just make sure that you write Simon sent you our way, because obviously we want to take care of him. But yeah, and then if you want to find me personally, you can find me on any of the major socials. Just look for the Sean Malone or it's Sean Malone. Yeah, I'll be there. So
one thing that's still open is you wanted to make a boatload of money. You did it. You wanted to not burn out again. What are you doing to not burn out again?
Yeah. So going back to what my coaches told me, and I think the biggest lesson for me was you need to set parameters. And how I learned this was interesting. Because I hired Alex Sharfin to help us put infrastructure in our business that would create a cadence. I think that's the first thing that's really important is like you need a systemized way to manage leadership conversations, team conversations, client conversations, customer service conversations. And so there's programs like EOS or Simple Operations or several of these that are out there. And so we looked at a lot of them. We ended up investing in the Sharfin method, sharfin.com, but it's now Simple Operations. And he taught us the infrastructure, which is cool. But the first meeting I had with him was the kind of turning point in my life. He says to me this, as we sit down and he goes, Sean, what's important to you? And I said, my wife, number one important thing in my world. Like, that's it. And then he says, open your calendar and prove it to me.
I love that. I do that also with clients. I love that. If it's a priority, it's in your calendar. If not, you are bullshitting yourself.
So you ask, how do I not burn out anymore? As I said, the time I work is this time to this time. I have some flex time. There's going to be a season where you need to harmonize a little bit more work, a little bit less play. But then there's other times where it's a little bit more play, a little bit less work. But the idea is I have kind of a bucketed time for work. I have lunch bucketed on my calendar every day for my wife and I to spend time together. Saturday is non-negotiable date nights that I have there. And then like now we're starting to get more into it. We just moved to Boulder, Colorado. So we have this community thing that we're doing. So I started putting more time for that. So that me and her can go make some new friends and actually get away from the computer, get away from the work so I can have time to breathe and think. Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs that are in the hustle and the grind don't give themselves space, right? And I was actually just speaking with Satish Verma, who's the CEO of the Think and Grow Rich Institute for the last 30 years. Dude is amazing. Booked a call with him through our system. Incredible. Where I didn't do any of it. I just jumped on the call and I was like, oh my God, Satish, you're amazing. And he basically said, if you can create emotional independence, you're free. And I was like, whoa, that's like some philosophical stuff. That's crazy deep. So we went into a little bit and he said, what you need is every single person that does any type of business needs room to think, needs space, time, quietness, right? That's why he's always talking about meditations and all these other things. And so that's, I think, the other part of the process for me is I follow Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning. So I give myself time to think and I give myself quiet time in my head. Because what he said, what Satish told me was the most busiest people in the world are the people that are most at peace with themselves, typically.
That is so true. And so it's parameters. You give yourself form and boundaries and you decide what they are and you put them in the calendar. And the second thing is creating space inside of you. It can be morning time, can be a practice like meditation. But you create also the space and you cultivate that space and you take that seriously, thinking time, because that's the CEO job number one, thinking, right?
And one of the things that I was just so blown away the first time we ever had a conversation, Simon, and it was just, I asked you what you were doing and you're like, I'm good. I'm actually focused on YouTube right now. And I was like, what do you mean? Like you're running this mega empire. Like, how do you have that time and space? You're like, I have systems. I have team. I do it all. Like I follow my strategy sprints method. I do everything in my, I teach my clients. I was like, damn. And then I got the book. So yeah, like I was very impressed, inspired by you. So
Sean Malone, everybody, flowchat.com. He is the coolest chap. You have now experienced it. That's why I wanted him here. And I want him soon back to learn more about what's happening because this guy, in 3 months, he will have amazing experiences again. So we will all subscribe to whatever we can find out there. We will put the links in the show notes, but we will find Sean Malone and Flowchat on every socials and follow you. Thank you for being on the show. And I'm glad that we have our ongoing conversations. So see you soon, Sean.
Yeah. Thank you, Simon. You're amazing. Keep it up.